Let's go to Hebrews chapter number 11 tonight. And I'm going to try to preach this evening what I wanted to preach this morning. Trying to get by it, getting out of it. Wanting to preach it next Sunday, but I believe I might ought to just go and preach it tonight. Hebrews chapter, do you want any preaching? I don't want to waste this outline tonight. Amen. Hebrews 11. Now faith is, that says enough. Not faith was, Brother Dennis, but it is. It just stands on its own. A lot of folks say, what is faith? Well, I want to say, faith is not some wistful thinking, but it is a belief in the Word of God which controls one's behavior. When faith really gets a hold to you, it'll change your behavior. And so faith is, we ain't got to read about what it was. Because ain't you glad you can be seated? Ain't you glad that you ain't got to go to a church to read about a God of what He used to do? But aren't you glad that you're in the family of God tonight and knows what He can do tonight? Now, first of all, we have talked about in this faith chapter, my goodness, what a chapter in the Bible of Hebrews 11. As a matter of fact, in verse number 4, we talked about, by faith, Abel. Now, Abel, he worshipped by the blood. Remember, Cain killed Abel. Cain brought the best he had from the field. But Abel brought the best he had from the flock. So I'm glad that Abel worshipped by the blood. Matter of fact, you'll never get to God except by the blood. A lot of people trying to get there by water and good works. But it's still the blood tonight. I'm glad we've got a blood-bought gospel. I'm glad we've got a blood-soaked Bible. And so without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So tonight, we've seen that by faith Abel, he worshipped by the blood. Then verse 5, Enoch, he walked by the book. He was translated that he should not see death and was not found. Somebody was a-looking for him when he left out. I wonder will anybody be a-looking for you when you leave. Wonder will anybody be a-missing you. There's a turning every rock and every bush over hunting him. Boy, I'm glad maybe when I can leave out of here, I'll have a little mark on a place and maybe two or three folks will miss me when I leave. Well, that was real quiet. Abel worshipped by the blood. And Enoch walked by the book. Noah worked on the boat. He said that he was warned of God of things not seen as yet. He moved with fear. Boy, that verse has really grabbed a hold of me this week. Aren't you glad one day when faith come by, let fear out and drove you to Christ? Somebody I've heard him say, don't scare my children. You better pray that God will help me, let fear out. Moves them toward Calvary by fear. Boy, ain't it a blessing you walk to Calvary with fear, but you come back with all confidence that your sin's gone. And so tonight I want to deal in verse number 8. We've seen that Enoch, he walked by the book, Noah worked on the boat, but tonight I want to say that Abraham watched for a better country. I'm glad I got a better country to go to. So we see by faith Abraham in verse 8. When he was called to go out in a place which he should after receive, he couldn't get to it where he was. And you listen to the preacher tonight. You can't get anything that God's got for you a setting where you are. You got to move by faith to get whatever God has got in store for you tonight. I'd hate to know faith come by and I disobeyed faith. I get the glory and there's a storeroom of blessing that God had for me, but I could not access it by my faith. By faith, Abraham, when he's called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance. He obeyed, and he went out not knowing whether he went. By faith, he sojourned. Well, there's a good Bible word. He sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, theirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Then in verse 11, these all died in faith. Isn't it amazing? If you start in faith, you die in faith. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they'd been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, for that is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. I want to say something right there. You know the reason God was not ashamed to be called their God? You know why God's not ashamed to be called their God? Because faith. That's what faith will do, friend. By faith, God said, I'm not ashamed to be called their God. Boy, faith's done a lot for us tonight. This evening, Abraham watched for a better country. I want to say, first of all, in verse 8, he walked out. Thank God for some people that have turned their back on this world and walk out for Christ. Now, I want to say that he walked out. And in Genesis chapter number 12, you can find what God said to him. And let's turn there tonight in Genesis chapter number 12 and hold your place. Let's take a look at Father Abraham this evening. The Bible said, Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto land that I'll show thee. And I'll make of thee a great nation. And I'll bless thee, and make my name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I'll bless them that bless thee. You know how come America's blessed tonight? And sure not because we exalt in our God as a nation. But because we're looking after God's chosen people. We've not turned our back on them yet. But you watch what this book says. I will bless them that bless thee. And I'll curse him that curseth thee. What about Babylon, one of the greatest empires that's ever lived? They turned their back on the Jews. Now you don't know where Babylon is tonight. Well, what about Rome? My goodness, look how they had it. But you know what? They burned Jews at the stake. Rome don't even exist tonight. What about Egypt? My goodness, God led them out of there. They turned their back on God's people. And Egypt tonight is nothing to where that it used to be. What about Germany? You know, I worked with a man. He had pictures. He's in that German war. And he said that Hitler killed so many Jews, they stacked their bodies on boxcars like logs and shoveled snow on the bodies and led them down the tracks. And there was a man that had turned his eye toward God's people to extinguish them off of this world. Honey, Germany's nothing tonight because they turned their back and persecuted God's people. He said, Them that bless you, I'll bless. And them that curse you, I'll curse. And tonight we see, And all and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. He's the father of the Jews. He's the father of our faith. Why? Every culture of religion knows something about faithful Father Abraham. God's word still is true tonight. And then we see in verse 4, So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old, and he departed out of Haran.
Now, tonight, Abram watched for a better country. First of all, he walked out. And now, let's notice back to our title text this evening. In the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11 and verse number 8, by faith, Abram, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed, went out not knowing where he went. Now, he walked out. First of all, we see there's a summons. He had a call. Aren't you glad one day you had a call? Boy, aren't you glad you picked the receiver up when the call come in? Boy, aren't you glad he can ring it loud and clear and he knows your number of what to call? Brother Lee said something about it this morning in our testimony meeting in the 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse number 23. There the Bible says this, but we preach Christ crucified unto the Jews, a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks, foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And watch this now. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And verse 28, I find myself there. And base things of the world. That's low things. That's things that, honey, the world thinks nothing about. But the cross of Calvary cries and said, I'll take them. I love them and I died for them. Thank God He called us by the gospel tonight. Base things. Low creeping things. Such were some of you. And He says this. He said, base things of the world, things which are despised, hath God chosen. Yeah, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are. Now look in verse 29. That no flesh should glory in His presence. Honey, you ain't done nothing. Nothing. You've done nothing to deserve a home in heaven. It's all grace tonight. He said, nobody here can glorify in the flesh about what they've done in order to be saved. Because it is the gift of God tonight. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness, sanctification and redemption. Boy, there's a good sermon tonight. Boy, He walked out. He had a summons. He is called. Have you ever experienced the call to salvation? Do you know that the Holy Ghost knocked on your heart? You know something? I believe the gospel in its simplicity. I believe God died for all. I believe in a whosoever will. But I also believe in John 6:44 that a lot of men wrote me off about. No man comes to the Father except the one that sent me. Draw him and I'll raise him up at the last day. Friend, it takes the Holy Ghost to call you and to convict you and convert you in the body of Christ. We have several men out getting 500 professions at Walmart, but they don't show up to church. The Bible says if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are coming. Aren't you glad He called you one day? Aren't you glad He sent somebody by to call you? Ain't you glad He sent the Holy Ghost to knock on your heart? Called you by our glorious gospel. He walked out. There was a summons. I'm glad He still calls those sinners tonight. And then there was not only a summons, but there was a surrender. Look what the Bible said. He obeyed, and he went out not knowing whether he went. See, some of you will never do nothing for God because He won't paint you the whole picture. A lot of times God says, He'll just nudge and say, okay, let's go. And you say, where are we going? But He ain't said nothing. You know why? Because you don't need to know yet. It scared you to death to think where God was going to take.
Friends, 16 years ago, you think when God nudged my heart to start in this new ministry, if God would have showed me right then I was having to give up my job and the things that I've went through, to God be the glory. Not whining, I say hallelujah. I couldn't have took it all that day. Some of y'all remember we had a box. We passed it around one time. And I remember Sister LaFonda directly reading. She put in the box. I don't know if she did, but I remember she read it. I remember this about her. And said that, I want us to have a pastor that can be full-time at our church. And it scared the far out of me. And the reason it ain't scared you, because you ain't walked in these shoes yet. My daddy had a good saying in Tennessee. Everybody knows how to handle the bear till they get a hold of it. You say, preacher, I know what I'd do if I was you. Oh, really? Well, it ain't but one of me, so hush. You don't know what you'd do if you was me. Thank God he obeyed. And you know, tonight there was a surrender. He obeyed. Can I say this? That delayed obedience is disobedience. Delayed obedience is disobedient. You can only go and walk as far as the lights are shining. And that's what he done, the father of our faith. He not only had a summons, but he had a surrender. He obeyed. Have any of you ever run the white flag of surrender up the flagpole? He said, God, I surrender. It's amazing the things that He allows to come to us to get us to surrender. I'll never forget in that of me. I've never been so miserable at a job the last year in all of my life. I was about ready to lose my mind. And when the Holy Ghost said, okay, walk out, praise God, I was a-shouting about walking out. You know, God can get you ready. God can ruffle your nest. You say, I'd never do that. Let me tell you, honey, God's a big God tonight. And He can do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we even ask or think tonight. Oh, my, He can get you willing. But boy, Abraham, he surrendered. Thank God for the people that surrendered to Christ. And so he walked out. He watched for a better country. He had a summons. He had a surrender. But he had a separation. And the Bible said this, he went out. Now, can you imagine leaving family? That's a hard thing to do. I know I've said it a lot, but I'm still my mama's baby. Have any of you ever seen your baby back out of a driveway and leave everything that you've ever raised them to know or do? And moved 233 miles to a little town in Bowden, Georgia. Friend, it's hard to walk out on everybody and everything you've ever known and loved. But boy, God can set it to where you can. Me and Miss Renee, some of y'all look like you don't want preaching tonight, so I'll just ramble a little bit. This year we was married 31, this week we was married 31 years by the grace of God this last Wednesday. I gave her an email. I said, honey, I've never forgot yet the first time I laid eyes on you. Ain't it amazing how God can make a man pull up from everything he's ever had and just move? Now, I'm talking about being mama's boy, a baby. I mean, she done rocked me so long, my feet drug the ground. And I had me a good mama, too. She loved her baby. She'll see me right now. We're going to see her Friday taking a kid. I'll walk in, Brother Randy. You know what she'll say? There's my baby. She'll open the hall up out there in that assisted living home. Hey, y'all, my baby's here from Georgia. He's a preacher, you know. But he walked out. That's what faith will let you do tonight. His summons, his surrender, his separation. He went out. And you know something? God still speaks about separation this evening. And we forgot this a lot in 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. You are who you run with. You know that? You are who you run with.
You got to thank God that He's put you in a church and give you some Christian friends to run with. And you remember what the Bible says, a man that has friends must show himself friendly too. If you ain't got no friends, you tell it on yourself. And look what he said, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you're the temple of the living God. God has said, I'll dwell in them and walk in them. I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you. Ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now, I'm going to tell you something. It may come a time before you ever serve God, you'll have to walk out on everybody and everything that you've ever known or loved. But he said, don't you worry about it. He said, I'll bring you into a fellowship like you've never had. And you know, secondly, this thing of separation, he went out. We ought to be separated from the world. Now, we're not too good for the world. I like to use it just so many times to think like this. How can we win anybody to Christ if we think we're better than they are? Religious zealots. But we ought to not go to their bars and their clubs and their hangouts and tell their jokes and do the things that they're doing and talk their language and drink their booze. Amen. Social drinkings of the devil. Little old nip martini. Martini my foot. A martini is a kissing cousin to a bikini. And don't neither one of them belong on God's youngins. Don't look at the floor. I'm still a preacher. Some of you don't wear enough to wad a shotgun. You ought to come out from among them and be you separate. And little girls, if that boy won't love you for what's inside of you, you don't need that scoundrel no how. Use you like a dish rag. He done with you. You won't even know him no more. You better keep yourself pure and holy and separated. You young men, you ought to keep your hands to yourself. You go to messing with your flesh, you're going to get in trouble. And I'm the pastor, I can say that here if I want to. He walked out. He had a summons. He had a surrender. He had separation. But he had a sight, not knowing whither he went. Something about faith. Brother David, Brother Tim, something about it, Brother Mike. Knowing, but not knowing. Y'all remember when he moved on our hearts to start this church? Knowing, but not knowing. It's just something how God can put something in you, but He won't show you the end of it, but you know. And I can't really explain it or describe it. I'm just saying, I live it. Tonight, Abraham watched for a better country. He walked out. Number two, he waited out. Verse number 9, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country. Boy, if he went to Walmart now, I wonder what he would put on strange country. Blue hair. My goodness, they some weird-looking people in this country. He sojourned in the land of promises in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Now he waited out. First of all, he waited in trust. He sojourned. You know what that word sojourn means? It means to reside as a foreigner. To reside as a foreigner. Now, there's another word hooks in with that. Not only was he a sojourner, talking about he waited in trust, he sojourned. There's a word in verse 13 that'll get your attention. And this is what he said. He said, they were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Looked up that word pilgrim. Means a resident foreigner. In other words, you're here, but you don't belong here. A pilgrim. What was the old man, old mountain man, made that movie I love? What was that? Jeremiah Johnson. Praise God. There is some good shows you can watch. He used that word pilgrim. He said, you cook good rabbit, pilgrim. Pilgrim's one of them words not used a lot anymore. But here, Paul is writing and he's telling these Hebrew children. He said, you know what? He said he sojourned to reside as a foreigner. But he said also he acted like a pilgrim. He was a resident foreigner. Hey, honey, I don't belong in this world. I've got a better place to go to tonight. Thank God, by faith, I'll get there one day. I'm like a fish out of water. I don't even fit the average Baptist church. Pilgrim and stranger. Boy, that preacher y'all got, he's strange. You know what, next time you need to say down to Piggly Wiggly, yeah, he's a pilgrim. Yeah, that'd cure it, won't it? He's a pilgrim. He's a resident foreigner. Praise God. I'm getting help on my own preaching. He waited out. He waited in trust. He sojourned. Then he waited in a test. He says it's a strange country. Our system's unbelievable. What's happening in our country? Boy, it is strange. Could you imagine if our grandfathers in that generation could come back and see what's going on in America tonight? Strange country. It's strange, buddy. Strange. I mean, when wrong's right, right's wrong. Strange. Waited in trust. He waited in a test. I want to say, they waited in tents. He said, we just pitched tabernacles. He said, we were dwelling in tabernacles. Hey, that lets me know, don't drive tent stakes down too deep if you're going to be walking by faith. Baptists get so accustomed to tradition and where you sit, where you park, and what you do. Listen, don't drive tent stakes down too deep out there in this world, because you may be pulling them up moving for long. He said he dwelt with trust. He dwelt in a test, but they dwelt in tabernacles. They lived in tents. I can tell you, and that's why they wanted to go to heaven. They weren't living in mansions down here. Boy, most of us, we've got it so good. So good. But now I'm glad it's my job to remind you of all of that. God's been good to you. God's been good to me. We're not sleeping out under a bridge tonight. We're not in a tent back here on this property. But they were. And so we see that they waited out. They waited in trust and test and tents. But they waited together. Look who is waiting with him. Isaac and Jacob. His son, Brother Kevin, and his grandson. Brother David, what a privilege to see your grandboy sing on the stage. What a privilege for some of you to go to church, Brother Randall, with your young'uns and your grandbabies. Sojourning. Brother Kirby, isn't it a blessing to sit on the seat with your daughter and baby boy? My God, I'm getting help on preaching tonight. They waited out together. The same promise. Now you can't tell me this, that Daddy's faith didn't alter Isaac's life. Because he's a grown man. He took him to Mount Moriah. Matter of fact, he turned around and he said, Daddy, he said, I see the wood and the fire, but where's the lamb? He knowed all about it. He said, God will provide himself a lamb. Boy, ain't it something, the insights that Abraham had of Calvary? God will provide himself. The God-man would hang on a cross. He said, God ain't sending nobody. He gonna do it himself. He looked over and around, was caught in a thicket by his horns. Not a blemish, not a spot. A holy and a pure sacrifice. But they watched, waited together. Isn't it a blessing that how we can wait together? I'm glad I got some people I'm waiting with. Isn't it a blessing to see some people that you're waiting with? Abram watched for a better country. He walked out and he waited out. But lastly, in verse 10, he watched out. Because the Bible said, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now, he looked. It means to expect or to wait for. He looked for the city. Are you looking for the city tonight? He expected it. He isn't waiting for it. He watched out. You know, I don't mean to bore you with my analogies, but I guess when a man's so impacted by his past life, it does come up. Where I was raised, it was a straight road and had a big curve. I remember the little boy, Brother David, I'd sit, look at the watch, and I knowed my daddy was fixing to come in. I mean, a little old kid, I'd sit out there in the window of that old house, and I'd look down and I'd see that old green truck round that curve. And Brother Kevin, I'd run out on the porch. We had a gravel driveway, that's what I'd do. Daddy'd turn in, I'd race him into the shed. And when he got out, you know what he'd do? He'd grab me. I was watching for him, Brother Kevin. I was expecting him. Matter of fact, Jesus said something like this: for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. What a day that's going to be. He watched out. Bible said he looked. And I close. He watched out for a city that was built. In verse 10, he looked for a city whose builder and maker is God. Now watch this. I'm fixing to run and shout. He wanted something better than that was stamped made in the USA. He wanted something that had more of a stamp on it than General Motors or Ford. The builder and maker was God. He watched out.
He watched out a city that was built, and he watched out for a city that was better. Because in verse 16 he said, but now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. I'm glad that I know, that I know, that I know that I'm going to the city where the builder and the maker is God. Been a lot of songs wrote about it. Been a lot of sermons preached about it. But honey, only I's going to be able to show us when we see it. And I bless His name tonight that I get to go by that city. Preacher, how you going? I'm going by faith. It started by grace. He offered it to me. He said I could access it by faith, but I had to have to go there that way. Appreciate you being here tonight with all of my heart. I'd ask that you stand. Abraham, what a father of our faith. He watched for a better country. I hope the Lord lets me preach on Sarah next. That's a story with all of itself. Amen. What a God.